The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, on this particular Sunday, we were following up with a retreat that we had just had at Epiclesis called Living Centered. Our guest was Dr. Lisa Deem, and she had been in town to talk with us about, of all things, medieval maps and how we can learn something today about how to center our lives on Christ by looking at maps from the Middle Ages. Sound interesting? Well, on this particular teaching, which followed up the retreat, she talked about pilgrimage and she talked about exile and how, in some ways, they are the opposite sides of the same coin. And now here's Dr. Lisa Deem talking about exile or pilgrimage.
Okay, well, I'm going to miss all of you when I leave, but I'm not going to miss this earpiece that I've had on a million times. And after spending a lot of the weekend with a lot of you, for which I am so grateful, you know my name by now, Lisa Deem. But some of you may know, especially if I'm friends with you on Facebook, for example, that my married name is Christian, Lisa Christian. And my two young daughters that have that last name really delight in that. Right? They think it's great that their last name has an extra meaning, that they are Christians in two ways, by their name and by their faith. They have no excuse not to know who they are, right? Because they hear it every day. As Christians, we all need to know who we are. We need to know it, and then we need to claim it, right? To take hold of our identity in Christ. And I'm concerned there's a little bit of an identity crisis in the American church today. Maybe a big one, but I'm going to speak to one little part of it. Many people seem to fear that Christian America is coming to an end. And the current election cycle has only increased this fear. And I am not one to usually talk about politics at all, and I promise I am not going to go there today. I do not want to. But one thing recently caught my eye. The political scene and some of this concern for the country has been influencing how Christians talk about their spiritual journey and the journey of the church. And that's one thing I do love talking about, spiritual journeys. So when commentators begin talking about post-Christian America, I've noticed a theme that often comes up, and that is that Christians today in the West are living in exile. That caught my eye because exile is a very particular kind of journey. What is it? Well, to be exiled means to be cast out, banished. If you're in exile, you take a journey to a strange land that is not your home. And chances are very good that you're not coming back. History is full of famous exiles. The Roman poet Ovid was banished from Rome in the year 8. He was exiled to a place on the Black Sea, and he called it a living death. And in fact, he literally died there in exile. The Jews were exiled to Babylon for 70 years, and their home, Jerusalem, the center of their faith, was destroyed. John, the beloved disciple, was exiled to the island of Patmos, perhaps by the emperor Domitian, and this is where he saw the visions he wrote about in Revelation. And one more, in 1536, John Calvin fled from France to Geneva to escape persecution after converting to evangelicalism. And later he was exiled from Geneva for disagreeing with the city council, but he was later able to return to Geneva. So some of these are pretty dramatic stories because exile is dramatic and often pretty traumatic. Imagine being forced to leave your home and not being able to go back again. So some Christians are saying that the American church is in exile, that we're cast out, not geographically, but culturally and spiritually. That we're banished from the more or less comfortable position that we once had in America, and now we're living as exiles in our own country. And I've just noticed this in so many places. Recently, there have been several symposia on this idea of the church in exile, and one is taking place next month at the Brehm Center at the Fuller Seminary. The Brehm Center is a center for worship and the arts, and their symposium is called Creating in Exile. And I recently read an article in Christianity Today about the mission of the church. And at the end, the author says, "I think ultimately we are going to have to teach people to live as exiles. I believe the exile will be more of a motif people use to describe the church in its current situation here in the West." And this author is saying that because the church's influence in the culture is waning. But I think there's a more fundamental sense in which we're exiles. Not because of what's happening in America, but because of what's happening in our Christian story. If you think, for example, about your own walk of faith, do you ever feel like you've been exiled or cast out? You look around and you're just so frustrated with the brokenness of the world, and you know you don't belong here. Well, that feeling of exile is part of our Christian faith. It's part of the big story of God's people. You see, way back in the beginning, we lived in a garden. This was our home. And then there was a little problem, and we were kicked out. St. Augustine puts it this way: after his sin, man was driven from that place, Eden, into exile. So every Christian is an exile from Eden. And I have a friend who, in difficult times, likes to express her frustration by saying, "We were made for the garden." And at first I thought that was kind of a quaint thing to say, but then I realized, yes, that's right. She's right, we were. We were meant to dwell with God there forever. Yet because of sin, we find ourselves outside its gates. And that event may seem like such a distant part of our history, but we feel its effects every day. And in one of his letters, the writer J.R.R. Tolkien puts it this way: we all long for Eden, and we are constantly glimpsing it. Our whole nature, at its best and least corrupted, its gentlest and most humane, is still soaked with the sense of exile. Now, this quote sometimes makes the rounds in social media, and I think I've even posted it one or two times. And when it appears on social media, people seem to go bananas. They love it. You know, partly because Tolkien is so eloquent, soaked with a sense of exile. And I also think people like it because it expresses something that we feel, even if sometimes we can't put a name to it. You know, we feel, we know that we're living in a broken world. And sometimes we're frustrated because things aren't right. Our own selves are not right, and nothing is the way it was supposed to be. And so we are yearning for what we've lost. And I think it's in this sense that we're exiles, really. Not because we're American Christians, but because we're Christians, period. And we're part of this much bigger story that begins in Eden. But it's not the end of the story. As former residents of Eden, we may yearn for what we've lost, but we can't look over our shoulder too much, because fundamentally we are not a backward-looking people. We are people who look ahead, and that's because Jesus came. Right? He came into our exile, and he said, "Follow me, come to me." So, you know, friends, our life is not behind us, it's ahead, because we're going to Jesus. He beckons us. And when we respond and go, our journey changes. It is transformed from an exile into a pilgrimage. Now, we talked yesterday, if you were there, quite a bit about what a pilgrimage is. Right? It's a sacred journey. Historically, it was a journey to a shrine, for example, to see the relics of a saint. And one of the important things about pilgrimage is that it always leads to a specific destination, right? To this shrine or that sacred place. And of course, the most famous Christian shrine has always been Jerusalem, the site of Jesus's death and resurrection. But pilgrimage is more than a physical journey. In Chaucer's poem, The Canterbury Tales, the figure of the parson says, Our pilgrimage on earth is an image of the glorious pilgrimage to the celestial city. So whenever a pilgrim on earth travels, whether it's to Canterbury or Santiago de Compostela or Jerusalem, that journey is a reminder of our bigger pilgrimage to heaven. So our whole life is a journey to the heavenly Jerusalem. And each day is a journey, the journey of our heart as we walk with Jesus. Now, we're always moving forward in our life with God. So we have exile, sent away, and pilgrimage, going to. They seem so different, but both journeys define us. And it's interesting that in the Christian tradition, exile and pilgrimage were closely related. And sometimes the same word would be used for both. And that word is, in Latin, peregrinatio. And I think that's where we get words like peregrination and pilgrim. In the Roman Empire, peregrinatio was a legal word that meant foreigner or exile. But it came to mean also a pilgrimage in the sense of to a sacred destination. In the Middle Ages, sending someone into exile often meant sending them on a pilgrimage. This was a major kind of punishment by the courts. So a criminal could be banished by sending them to Jerusalem or to Santiago de Compostela. And when this happens, an exile becomes more of a sacred journey, a journey of repentance, a pilgrimage. And before being exiled in this way, criminals received the same blessing that pilgrims did. So exile, sent away. Pilgrimage, going toward. They are two sides of the same coin. And there's a wonderful passage in Hebrews that helps us see these two sides. In Hebrews chapter 11, we learn about a series of Old Testament heroes: Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses. This is the great cloud of witnesses who lived by faith. So in Hebrews 11:13, we read, "These heroes, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Now, I was quoting from the King James Bible here, which says strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If you use a different translation of the Bible, you might see a slightly different phrase at the end. You might see strangers and foreigners on the earth, or strangers and exiles on the earth. And that's because these two concepts, pilgrim and exile, right, are two sides of the same coin. Both help us understand our status in the world. Like an exile, we don't really belong here. Like a pilgrim, we're on our way somewhere else, to the kingdom. And then Hebrews makes a slight shift away from exile, I think, in favor of pilgrimage. Hebrews goes on to say, people who say such things, that we're strangers and pilgrims, they show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. So notice, the ancients are not looking backwards. Right? They're not fixated on the country they left. Take Abraham, for example, which this passage in Hebrews talks about. God sent Abraham away from Ur. Effectively, God exiled him from Ur. And Abraham lived as a stranger in the promised land. But by faith, he looked ahead. Abraham was looking to the home God was preparing for him and his descendants. And that's what the next verse really emphasizes. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, what city do you think God has prepared? A heavenly city, Jerusalem, right? The heavenly city that's mentioned in one of those previous verses in Hebrews. So these Old Testament heroes were pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. They weren't just exiles, longing for what they'd left and looking over their shoulder. They were longing for the country ahead of them. They were on the move to the kingdom. And as for these heroes, this great cloud of witnesses, so for us today, these ancestors encourage us to look forward, to keep the faith, to put one foot in front of the other, because we are pilgrims too. And so, although it has become fashionable for Christians in America to self-identify as exiles, I think we need to be careful. Yes, exile is part of our journey. It acknowledges our banishment from Eden, and it also reminds us to live godly lives. So exile reminds us, as 1 Peter tells us, it reminds us not to adopt the customs of the world because we don't really belong in the world, and that's important. We're strangers here. But if we only focus on exile, we miss part of our story. We miss out on the hope that Jesus brings us. This world is not our home, but Jesus came to take us home. We miss Eden, but we're going to Jerusalem. Jesus has turned our exile into a pilgrimage. And I think we feel differently about our journey on different days. At least I know that I do. Some days we know we are exiles. We really know it, don't we? We feel like we're going to be wandering in the wilderness forever and that we are God forsaken. And other days, maybe we're infused with vision and hope and we're eager to go. Now, on the hard days, when you feel like you've been banished to the edge of the earth, I want you to turn the coin over. Embrace your identity as a pilgrim. Keep putting one foot in front of the other and go on in hope, because Jesus is reaching out his hand to you and he says, come, follow me. And I want to end with this blessing. As you go, receive this pilgrim's blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always on your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rain fall soft upon your fields, and until your journey's end, may God hold you safely in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.